and welcome to the ESBC Property Show. I'm Megan.
And I'm Paul. I feel completely out of sync, but yeah. It's good. We'll roll with it.
Yeah, so on today's episode, we have one of our ESBC solicitor estate agents with us, which is Lisa from McDougall McQueen. And she's head of estate agency there, and she's here to talk all about pricing strategy for when you're selling your property.
Yeah, so we talk about offers over, fixed price, to sell first or to buy first, the perennial question. But it's really interesting. We share some interesting stats as well around what you'd achieve at a fixed price and what you get if you go for offers over. So well worth a listen. So here's the show. And today we've got with us Lisa from McDougall McQueen, head of estate agency. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what being head of estate agency means and a little bit about your role?
So pretty much a general dog's body.
So that sounds better than a dog of estate
exactly,
agency, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a bit of both, really. So basically, I oversee the property teams. So obviously, help out with all the marketing for the estate agency, assist our valuers in listing. I'll oversee the purchase team as well. So basically, everything property at the front end.
Yeah, end to end, from valuation all the way through to sale.
Exactly, till we pack it over to the conveyance.
So the conveyance
is totally. But
stuff.
Also, we've got a really busy purchase team as well. So,
yeah,
a bit of everything.
Okay, well, we're going to start at the point of evaluation, and I suppose it's a question that maybe a lot of people think about is, how does a solicitor estate agent arrive at evaluation? We don't mean driving or getting on a bike. Just how do you come up with the figure? Where does that figure come from?
There's a mix of science and experience.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
So it's never just you arrive and you think, oh, I think X and Y amount. So any good solicitor estate agent should be doing lots of pre-work. So there's so many places that you can be looking at comparable evidence. So like for us, the very first thing we would do would have a look at the property on Street View and just make sure that it doesn't look grossly different to what's around. Because especially in Edinburgh, you can have a shack next to a mansion.
You're turning up to...
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have a wee quick look there and then we'll start to dig into the information the client's given us.
Yep.
So what's the property consist of? Have they done any alterations and changes to it? When did they buy it? What has sold since? What are they competing with now? That's a huge thing because...
Yeah, four or five boards up on the road changes what you can ask for the sixth one, doesn't
it,
really?
Totally, because so many people get caught up on the fact that their neighbour sold for X or Y. But this market, as we know, is can be bumpy. So if they're talking about something in 2021, even 2022, that can be pretty different to now. And I think it's easy for sellers to get really caught up on that magic figure that one property got on the street. So it's just about, for us, making sure that we've got all the actual evidence.
Yeah.
So when we go to speak to the seller, we can give them honest, transparent advice, and it's all backed up with evidence. And it's nothing about opinion. It's actually, this is what's happened. And if you go on the market now, Mr. Seller, you're competing with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Because what you're competing with at that moment is massively important.
Yeah.
And that can change in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the process of you getting your home report and stuff done, you could have two... the neighbour each side go on the market. You know what I mean? I think they call it Sod's Law, but it does happen. Like, it can happen. So, we would make sure we've got as much information as possible. And I think some people, when we're asking them for information, when we're booking evaluation, they think, oh, you can just see that when you get here. But that's truly just so we can have as much information as possible to give the client as much feedback and the best possible advice
to
when
do best
arrive.
By them. Totally. I suppose the other thing, as a solicitor estate agent, you're offering on behalf of clients every day, so you know what's being accepted and where the market's at.
Yeah.
So that's another source of data, mind, statistical evidence.
Definitely,
isn't it, really?
and we'll often have our sales and purchase team talk to say in that area what are people offering over.
Yeah.
And that our purchase team will ask us as well. So that's a very...
it's quite unique, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a really nice relationship. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's never any specifics because we wouldn't offer on our own anyway. So, but it's nice to have finger on the pulse from both sides from that.
And that's the difference with a solicitor estate agent.
Exactly.
Well said.
Exactly.
So we've kind of touched on that the market can be bumpy, yes. But how are you finding the current market, and would you recommend you market in this market as like a fixed price, offers over, offers around? Mm-hmm. How are you marketing just now?
So market for us remains really good. Steady, which is the dream. People think that estate agents, solicitor estate agents, want a really booming market. No. We don't. No. Because
we know what comes next.
Exactly. So we want consistency. And as well, there's an element of you're seeing people around you really struggle to get on the market. So how is the economy going to continue to move if prices keep being through the roof? So the consistency element is beautiful. With asking price, personally, we're always offers over in the first instance for a few reasons. And I think it obviously depends on which market you're trading in. McDougal McQueen are Edinburgh and the Lothians, and the market in most of those areas remains pretty good. So for us, we don't want to put too much commitment out to the market in the first instance by going fixed price. Experience would tell us there's two things that can happen. One is it goes on the market, sells in 2 seconds at the fixed price, the client's always like, I could have got 10k more. And you know what? That's an argument to be had. You never know. On the flip side of that, you go on the market fixed price and it doesn't sell. You've put all your cards on the table. Everyone who's been keeping an eye, and let's face it, because of the internet, everybody does keep an eye. Everybody remembers. So, oh no, that was this or this was that. So it's just offers over as a nice, slightly under home report. Let's invite people in, qualify people to make sure that they've got the budget and stuff, but get them over the door and make sure that they've got the budget for a roundabout home report. And then we're obviously going to do our best to maximise interest, hopefully have a closing date scenario, make sure our clients get the very best return. But for us, offers over is the best place to start. For sure.
That's an interesting strategy, and we've just done a paper just talking about this, that last year, we're in a slightly different market this year, and we'll come to that, Lisa. Offers over was normally at 96% on average of the home report value and achieved 108%, so, you know, a 14% differential there.
Yeah.
But as you say, that's spirit of competition, people seeing that property, liking it, etc. Different market this year, we're only seeing a premium over the home report about 1.4%, so it's 101.4%. So yeah, things have calmed down, but yeah, interesting strategy. So sort of moving on from that then, the median time to sell sits around 21 days, but what happens if a property has stuck? So let's say you've started as offers over and it's sticking and I'm selling. What would you say to me at this point then, Lisa?
There's loads of things you can do. And not necessarily all with the price. So for us, price change is the last thing, because I think you need to make sure that you're using all the tools you've got first. So firstly, we would review the seller's feedback, like the client feedback, the viewing feedback. So if there's been view-ins and why are the viewers not taking it any further, we'd have a really honest, we would always have an honest conversation with the sellers, but really transparent, saying people are saying X and Y. Based on that, why don't we do X or Y?
And as a seller, you can't be in denial about that, can you? You know, totally. If people are saying your place is cluttered, it's horrible to hear. But it's something you have to take on the chin if you want to sell and do something about it.
Totally. And it's not our opinion, again, you know, it's the buying public. So that we would look at that firstly. A few other things from there, do we need to redo photos? Do we need to strip back a little bit? If it's a vacant property, shall we virtually stage it?
Yeah.
You know, move everything around online? Do we look to boost it on the ESPC? Like all these things. So we'd look at all of that first, and we would try that first. And bearing in mind, the time to sell situation is such a tricky question. Like 20... however many years later in the industry, it's the one thing you could never answer, because you can have two houses identical. One takes 2 days and one takes 2 months, you know, because it depends which buyer is out there looking at that time. So it's going to be seller led, because if we've got someone who is offered subject to sale, so they're maybe like in a review period, they've got quite a tight deadline, then we need to be much quicker off the market making those changes. Whereas if they've not got that, then sometimes it does just time. Like, it doesn't need to be on and off the market in 2 seconds. Yeah. It just needs time.
Yeah, because 21 days is swift, brisk, as we've been saying, you know, compared to the rest of the UK.
Totally. And if you think, lucky. Like, that's a life-changing thing happening in 21 days.
Yeah.
It's very quick.
Yeah.
So, but I think we've so used to 8 days. Why is my house not selling? Yeah. It's been on for 11 days. You know, like, this is the thing. The market is just moving at a slower pace because of what's happened in the economy.
Yeah.
Buyers are just taking their time a little
more
bit.
More choice.
And they're
more
looking
choice.
At more. Totally. It's the old supply and demand thing.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that price thing would be last for us. But
okay.
And generally speaking, we always want to move from an offers over to a fixed if we can.
Yeah.
But again, we'll give the client the if, buts and maybes and talk them through, and they would make the decision what's going to be best suit them.
Yeah. And as we say, fixed price, normally pitch it 99% of the home report and achieve 98%. So you're getting there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Some people still get over, surprisingly, but not a lot over once you've gone to fixed price.
I mean, some of our clients still are very much have the appetite to pitch a wee bit over a home report because they know that there might be a wee negotiating tool to be sweeten the deal to get it over the line or what have you. But for me, the ideal would be if we do need to go to fixed price, we don't want to fix above the home report.
No. You want to pull people in.
Yeah,
but totally. Cosmetics first, doing whatever you can first, and then price secondly.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So I guess the next thing that we were wanting to ask you was if a seller has come to you guys for an evaluation, but they've also gone to a few other agents and solicitor estate agents to get some valuations. So they've got three valuations, and one of those valuations is significantly higher than the other two. What should a seller do in that circumstance? You know, what's the next step?
Yeah, and that's, believe it or not, really common.
Okay.
Because there is agents out there who to get the list in will perhaps overestimate what the value is going to be. And I mean, that's quite known within the industry that there's some people that do that. For us, absolutely no way. We want to make sure that the client is getting honest, transparent advice. And because everything we do is backed up with evidence, it's actually really straightforward. Because if we've been up against an agent that said, oh, but they've said it's 20,000 more, say, brilliant. Did they show you the figures that actually supported that? Oh, no. Yeah, because there isn't any, you know. And I think, like, customers are smart, you know. Like, a lot of people won't be hoodwinked into just because, you know, I've got three doors along at X price, but I'm going to get £25,000 more because, you know, I've got marble counters or what have you. People are smart.
Yeah.
So, but for us, I would always be saying, let's take it back to the facts. The comparable evidence and the current market tells us that you should reach X amount. If they are telling you that, that's amazing. Ask them to show you how they came to that figure.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
My old boss used to tell me, you know, tell a seller to go and view some houses as a buyer.
Yeah.
See where you get for your money. And it really, I mean, these days you can just look online, but it opens your eyes almost to view it as a buyer and think, well, would you buy my house or the one down the road? Yeah, and say, for 25 grand difference for a worktop.
Exactly. I know.
There's only one choice, isn't
it? Totally. But the thing is, I also get it. Like, I think it's
human nature, isn't it?
Totally. Someone's
it's
telling you,
money.
You know, bells and whistles. And then someone's just given you the honest and transparent. Then I get that some people can be guided into the bells and whistles. Totally get it.
But I suppose it's about dialogue with you as the agent.
Totally.
Because I think what you're not saying, Lisa, is you wouldn't try it slightly higher, even though you'd be a bit, well, I'm not sure we're going to get it.
Yeah.
But probably for a given period of time or something on the basis that, look, I think this is optimistic.
Yeah.
We know if property sticks too long, it can work against the seller.
Yeah.
So it's about having a conversation, isn't
totally,
it?
Totally,
really?
Totally. And I think the reason that that can be difficult is that if you're having that complete honest, like, we'll try it, but bear in mind, we're somewhat governed by what the home report value is. So where is the surveyor getting these inflated values from? So for us, it's not that we don't want to or that we personally don't think it's worth more. It's just that all the facts bring us back to X amount.
Yeah.
And if we can't get the home report at a certain level, then Yeah. We're not going to just lead you up a garden path.
No, and you know, I would think pretty much everybody, when they go to a solicitor estate agent as a purchaser, the first thing the solicitor does is get the home report, look at the valuation, and says, right, here's where we should be, you know. Yeah. So absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, what about this one then? So what should a seller consider, you know, I've been on the market, when should I consider a reduction, what time frame? And does this send a negative message to the market? You know, will that put people off if I reduce
them? I mean, price reductions are just a way, they're just a way of the world. That's just the reality, right? In an ideal world, you always want to get the price dead on to ensure that, but that's just no. Because we work in a market that is so up and down, and effectively we are waiting on
people. It's not a precise science,
is it? Totally. No, so we're waiting on people coming to the market and leaving every day, that it will happen, it's inevitable. But for me, it would be client-led in regards, is that client under review like they've got? Yeah. Or are they moving to Australia and they need to be? For me, I think we need to try and give as much time as we can without it falling into that page number 412 on the SPC list. That's like, but we need to give it a good crack. Yeah. And then we really start going through the same scenarios as we did previously with the asking prices. Make sure, look, is everything in order as it can be? Have we listened to what the buyers are telling us? Have we reviewed the current market? Because it might be that we're no selling because there's two on the market that have came on just after us. They were 30k less than us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's annoying, but it does just, it just happens. So it would be client-led. We would very much do a few things at the same time. So if we were going to do the price change, we would do it along with probably changing the photos round, like maybe using an internal, maybe do a boost at the same time or
so
a feature.
So completely refresh the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So just trying to put it into the, what we're trying to do is we're not trying to engage with the people that have already seen it. We're trying to engage with people that haven't seen it.
Yeah, written it off, been on the market too long, what's wrong with it?
Totally. Those sort of clients. And if we're doing a price reduction, then are we putting in a new price band for people's searches when they look on the SPC? Mm-hmm, so, because that can make a big difference. Because if it's people are starting their search at 400 and this has been on offers over 420, but actually we can come back that 5% to offers over 395 to try and get things moving.
Fishing in a different pond.
Totally. We're just getting a different person, aren't we? Yeah. It's not about, like, it's no way where it sits. It's actually, we just need to fish for those different people. Yeah,
indeed.
Totally. And actually, that's happened to us recently, that we had something that was at the higher end, there's no question, it wasn't in those kind of price points. We dropped it, we got a close in, and we sold for more than it was on originally for. Shows you.
Yeah, there's something in that.
Being honest, that's not even that unusual. Mm-hmm. It's just because you find the people that hadn't considered it before, they fall in love with it, and then they're competing. So. Yeah. It drives from there. But I don't think it's anything to be ashamed about. I think it's just one of those things.
Yeah, it can happen. Yeah, indeed.
And I guess, so this episode is obviously for people who are thinking about selling, thinking about coming to the market.
Yeah.
And something that obviously is actually pre-pricing strategy that we need to think about is, do you buy first or do you sell first? And obviously, I think what you're maybe going to say is that this is why, you know, not having the pressure after you've made that first purchase to then have to sell quickly just makes that selling strategy. But I'll let you, what would you recommend?
Megan, you've articulated it perfectly. So yeah, you're right. Like, in an ideal world, right? So your agent wants you to get the best on both sides, okay? Like, for us, McDougall McQueen, especially because we've got a purchase team as well, we want to get you in the best possible position for your sale, so you are considered in the best possible way when you're a purchaser. Mm-hmm. Because we then win-win, okay? And those two things work together. But again, life happens, doesn't it? Like, it's nothing's ever, like, perfect. So if you can, you want to try and get the ball rolling with your sale. But before you do that, you need to be having a look at the current market. Make sure there's things out there that are are like on your wavelength, because the last thing you want to do is go on the market, go under offer and be like, actually, the things I was looking at are 400 grand more than I was hoping to spend. So, yeah. Which happens to me all the time. but it's never, so you want to do enough research to make sure there's things there or thereabout.
Yeah.
You want to put yours on and then you want to run the two in tandem. So once yours is on the market and getting interest, then you really want to start looking properly.
Yeah.
When other solicitor estate agents are speaking to you and booking in viewings for their client, they'll be explaining to their client that you're already on the market. So you're already ahead of the person behind you that's not put theirs on the market yet. And then there's loads of things they can do. But for us, the most important thing is when sellers, they're already nervous. Yeah, they're all like 99% of the sellers are nervous. It's a massive deal, isn't it? So we would want to make sure that they're reassured in the fact that we're never going to put you on the market, sell you, and have nowhere to go.
Never happens.
Ever, ever. No. Yeah. Yet there's a massive misconception that everyone thinks that, it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So for us, we want to make sure that you're on buying in tandem. And even if you get an absolute whopper of an offer, we would never conclude missives on that sale until we've got purchase lined up. And we would be honest with your buyer and just say, look, our clients have not secured anything yet. Can we start to look at like an extended date of entry with a view bringing that forward when we do secure something? Or we would have all these conversations.
Yeah.
And I think the important thing is dialogue, like making sure that you're speaking to people that are coming over the door for you. Have they got a house to sell? Are they on the market, blah, blah, blah. And then, because that's what other solicitor estate agents are going to be asking you when you go to view. Yeah. So for us, the ideal is run them together in an ideal world, but we want to get you on the market first, but so you can actually go in with in a strong position for your purchase.
Yeah. I agree. And I think, I mean, we've got that product called Unlock, and we for ESPC where a client needs longer to find something.
Yeah.
And you tell the buyers up front, look, it could take me a while.
Yeah.
So you've been transparent. But absolutely, you're in the absolute pole position if you sold and ready to offer.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. Thank you, Lisa. That was really well put. And thank you for all your thoughts and guidance today. That's been really good.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for having
me. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Anytime.
Take care. So there we go. That was Lisa from MacDougall McQueen. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Concise, snappy answers. And just Lisa reminding us that to be focused on the evidence and making sure that when we're bringing properties to market, that you go with the agent, the solicitor estate agent that brings you the most data led evidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And just doesn't make out promises they can't ultimately fulfill. I think was the case. And really interesting, that thing about do not fear if your property's not selling. There's things you can do. There is hope out there, a sort of cosmetic first approach, and then if that's not worked, look at price and look at the ways that you could remarket a property a slightly different way.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good, and we hope you enjoyed that. So that's all for now. Thanks for listening, for watching, and we will see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.